Shooks has come to be baptized. 89 additions in 1 year, to the glory be of God. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 17. You know, as Patrick shared all the good news from around the world, it is truly incredible to be a part of a worldwide movement. And I hope you've been encouraged just to even see the video, to see that we're not just an autonomous church doing its own thing in Lagos, that we desire to get united with God-fearing people around the world. We desire to see this world evangelized in this generation and have true worshipers that want to worship God in spirit and in truth. And you know, it's interesting because, bro, if you could show the Crown of Thorns project, to help you understand this, we really believe, you know, Jesus said in Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey what? Everything. Now, sadly, Jesus' great commission has become the great suggestion. Most people are not really committed to making disciples of Jesus. Most people don't even know what a disciple of Jesus is.
Right.
If you're a guest here today, you know, I was talking to the fellowship, and it's like, the word Christian's in the Bible only 3 times. The word disciples in the Bible, 267 times. But how many churches are teaching that you have to be a disciple to be a Christian? Acts 11, the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. And so we need to evangelize the world, because truly, everyone who calls himself a Christian may not actually be a Christian biblically. Are you with me, fam? See, guys, we got to make sure we don't start calling ourselves something that the Bible doesn't confirm.
That's right.
But, you know, it's awesome that we have a plan. I just want to show you, this is not some rah-rah thing. This is a specific plan we've been praying through as a movement of churches around the world. We call it the Crown of Thorns Project. As it says here in Acts 1, it says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus had a plan of world evangelism.
That's right.
And he worked through the 12 apostles to be able to achieve that plan.
Absolutely.
And sadly, that plan has been led astray by so many different false teachers today. But it's time to restore biblical teaching.
Amen.
And so, in order to really accommodate the scripture here, our Jerusalem is really Los Angeles. It is our mother church. You saw all the folks from Los Angeles saying hi right there in the video.
Amen.
But then, Judea and Samaria, United States and Canada, to know that we have literally churches, Las Vegas, Phoenix, you saw people sharing from there, Sacramento, San Diego, San Francisco, then Samaria, all throughout the United States. And then, the key part is what? To the ends of the earth. You see, our vision is to plant a key pillar church in 12 key cities around the world, making literally a figurative crown of thorns. That from these key pillar churches, the churches around their area will be evangelized. And so literally, for us here in Lagos, 2016, we remember the day when we planted the Lagos church. And every single one got an upside down globe right there to signify that, like the Bible says in Acts, we are turning the world upside down for the Lord.
Amen.
And so, Lagos now will become the Jerusalem for all of Africa.
Amen.
And that from Lagos, we'll see all of Africa evangelize the Lord.
Amen.
So we pray. This August, we're going to complete the last Crown of Thorns planting in Hong Kong. From Hong Kong, all of China will hear the truth about repentance and baptism.
Amen.
And so we're going to study that out today. The title of the message is simply, Religious or Righteous? You know, we live in a world today where people like to talk about religion. People actually like to be religious. But God calls us to be different. He calls us to be distinct. In a world where being religious or even being spiritual is more of a fashion statement than or a social construct than a real way of life. A lot of people go to church, they put on their best clothes. It's almost like another club.
Yep.
Guys come there to look at women. Women come there to find husbands.
All right.
Why do I say this? Because I lived it.
Yep. Come on, Andrew.
I lived it. I was a church musician literally before I ever went to uni. Before I went to uni, I was a church. I played in Catholic, Baptist, Pentecostal, Church of God. You name it, I played in it. And I saw the hypocrisy. And you know what? I was a hypocrite.
Yeah.
I grew up going to church, telling the Sunday school teacher, correcting him in class, while he went outside and smoked a cigarette. While the guys who came up and played in the band during fellowship break were outside smoking and talking about what girls they were with the night before.
Yeah.
See, I've seen what fake religion is.
Yeah.
And that's why we're here to bring true religion to Nigeria. Are you with me here? We're not here to get money. Listen, we left money. My background, in case you don't know, healthcare, medicine. My wife is a lawyer. We gave up our careers to go into the full-time ministry.
Amen.
We sold everything to come here. I'm not even Nigerian. Although some people think that I am Igbo. I think that person, I probably am Nigerian because, mind you, both Patrick and I are Jamaican. I was born in New York, just to help you understand. I was born in New York. My family came over from, I'm first generation Jamaican in New York. My wife was actually born in Kingston, Jamaica. And so, but you know, I heard that apparently Jamaicans really just came from West Africa anyway. And that I really believe I got Nigerian blood in me anyway. So you're stuck with me because I'm a Nigerian, amen. But you know, I think this is very important as we talk about this topic today, because someone wearing a cross doesn't mean they've repented of their sins. Sadly, in the world, I slept with many women that had crosses around their necks. Going to a church building and giving money doesn't pacify God or take away sin.
Absolutely.
Amen. Talk about it.
And so, unfortunately, the world is more concerned about a religious feeling that makes them feel comfortable. I've had an experience that now makes them feel spiritual.
Right.
That's not what the Bible talks about.
Yeah.
And so, as I said, the title is religious or righteous. Let's see what God thinks about this in Acts 17. I want you to read here. In Acts 17,
yes.
Paul is preaching the word. He's preached the word in Thessalonica. He's preached the word in Berea. And the Jews there, as in the religious people that don't want to believe in Christ and are persecuting him, have been chasing him from Thessalonica to Berea. And now he's in Athens because they've been chasing him. Are you with me?
Yes.
Let's see what happens here. Acts 17, starting in verse 16. Now, we're a Bible church, so I need you to read along with me.
Okay.
One of the reasons why people are led astray today is because they just listen to what the pastor says instead of examining for themselves. Are you with me here?
Yes.
Do not be a blind sheep. Get into the Bible and read along with me. Amen, family.
Yes. Come on, Andrew.
Acts 17, verse 16, it says, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. Do you see idols here in Lagos?
Yes.
So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day with those who happen to be there. See, that's what a Christian does. You share your faith with whoever. You don't have to have a friendship with someone. It's cold contact. You reach out to anyone.
Yes.
That's how, actually, Emperor got shared with by Robbins. I'll tell you that story a little later. It goes on here, a group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to dispute with him. Now, of course, Epicurean, as you know, they're the pleasure seekers. They think life is all about pleasure seeking. As long as you find pleasure in life, you're doing good. Stoics are all about, you know, staunch rules, discipline. This is the way it is. And so it's two ends of the spectrum of philosophy right there. So these guys begin to dispute with him. Some of them ask, what is this babbler trying to say? Others remark, he seems to be advocating foreign gods. They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him and brought him to a meeting of the Areopagus, where they said to him, may we know what this new teaching is that you're presenting? You're bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we want to know what they mean. All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. Verse 22. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious.
Wow.
For I walked around and I looked carefully at your objects of worship.
Right.
I even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown god.
Right.
Now, what you worship is something unknown, I'm going to proclaim to you.
Amen.
The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands. And he's not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men, that those should inhabit the whole earth, and that he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. The reason why you are here today is not an accident.
Amen.
God has set this up. The question is what you're going to do next.
All right, come on,
Verse 27. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance. But now, he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. Let's stop here. Wow. You see, this issue of being religious is nothing new, is it? It's nothing new. You know, as Patrick was talking about all the different churches throughout the world that are baptizing in situations where it's Muslim or pagan or Hindu, it's very powerful to see people come to the Lord in that way.
Yes.
But you know what's really intense, and in some ways it's also sad, is that when you're in a situation where it's a pagan culture or a culture that is, you know, obviously another religion, it's very clear what the truth is.
That's right.
But when you come to a situation when everybody claims to be a Christian,
yeah.
10,000 churches in Lagos alone.
Right.
Let me ask you, is it more difficult to preach the truth when the truth has been split into 10,000 pieces?
Yes. Yes.
You see, guys, we've got to understand here, it is actually more difficult to preach true religion in a place where everyone claims to have it than in a place where it's obvious that they don't.
Yes.
Are you with me here?
Yes.
And so we've got to be very specific about what the truth is. Because if we don't lay it out, people will be led astray by flattery, by smooth talkers that don't call them to the Word of God, but instead call them to tradition, call them to emotion, call them to interpretation. And so this morning, I'm calling you to the Bible.
Amen.
I believe God has brought you here. You need to get with the person who invited you on out and get united on the Word of God.
Amen.
That's what Jesus prayed for. But let's examine this scripture here. You know, for many people, as I said, religion is just another philosophy that they can debate about. But the Apostle Paul lays out the truth about the resurrection of Jesus.
Right.
You know, we just finished Ramadan here. And with respect to our friends who are Muslim, we've got to really ask ourselves, is being a Muslim just another way to the truth? I do not think so at all.
Come on, Andrew, preach the truth.
Islam is not going to get you to heaven.
No.
Muhammad did not raise from the dead.
Amen.
There is no power there.
No.
The power of Christianity is that Jesus rose from the dead.
Amen.
Are you with me here? It's not just some other philosophy.
Yeah.
Now, you may not like that. That may be controversial to you. But you know what? That's what the truth is.
Yeah.
And we've converted people who have been in the Muslim faith. Dalapo was a former Muslim. Lord Wilson was a former Muslim. Kunle was a former Muslim. His dad was an imam. And so, we gotta have deep conviction here. While we respect everyone, we do not water down the truth to anyone. Because if you claim something is the truth, you better back it up. When I was studying the Bible, I was a science major. I stopped going to church for 3 years when I was in uni. 3 years because of the hypocrisy I saw. Until someone sat me down and showed me why the Bible is the Word of God. Looking at the historical evidence, the scientific evidence, the archaeological evidence, the manuscript evidence. I'm like, this is unbelievable. The Bible's talking about kingdoms that were hundreds of years before they came. The Bible's talking about it. The Bible's talking about the earth being a sphere in Isaiah 40:22 in 750 BC when Christopher Columbus thought the world was flat in 1400 AD. The Bible's talking about the water cycle in Isaiah 55 verse 10 when they didn't even understand what evaporation and condensation was all about in the 1800s. Oh, we can do a whole series on the evidences of the Bible. You know what? I think we're going to do it.
Amen.
I'm going to do a PowerPoint presentation on evidence for God, the Bible, and Jesus. And we're going to prove to you why Christianity is the truth.
Yeah.
You can't just know it. You got to be convinced.
That's right.
Because if you don't know who's in the dark and who's in the light, you can save no one.
Yes.
And so here this morning, you look at this in Acts 17. What's really convicting about this is that the teaching that he gave here is still new today. It is still new today. When you look at this, what does he say? He says here in verse 22, I see in every way you're very religious. I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship. You know, there are a lot of different objects of worship here in Lagos. A lot of different church buildings being built. Because look at what he says here in verse 24. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. You know, some people say, ah, you guys are you're meeting in a hotel. Oh, is that spiritual?
No, bro.
You must have a church building to have church. Let me help you with some ignorance I see in your part of this person talking to me. Number one, the first century Christians did not have church buildings. They lived in the catacombs out of fear of persecution. There were no church buildings until 200 AD, and they definitely didn't look like these buildings you see today. So let's just get it very clear. Wherever two or three are gathered, that's where the Lord is. Are you with me? The church is not the steeple, it's the people. Let me say it again. The church is not the steeple, it's the people.
Amen.
You know how many times I've seen people fool around in churches in the back rooms?
Yeah.
But this is a holy place. No. We make it holy.
Yeah.
We make this place. It's the Spirit of God within us that makes it special.
That's right.
Not the brick. Not the cross. Not the name. Guys, we got to have deep conviction here. For many people, this is still new. They still believe that mere attendance at a building now connects them with God.
Yeah.
I've gone to church today. Church, again, is not the place. It's the people. So when you say you've gone to church, that's incorrect. You've gone to the church building. Do you follow me? So when you now say, I'm going to the church building, okay, that's all well and good, but going to a building does not connect you with God. And that is what Paul was trying to help them understand right here.
Right.
But you know what? They also have to learn, it says down in verse 27, that God really desires a real relationship with them. The Bible says here, God did this. He set this up. He allowed you to be invited here this morning so that you would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us.
Amen.
To find Jesus. That sounds kind of, I don't know, spiritual. I found Jesus. What does that mean? What does that mean? I found Jesus. The question is, if you look in the Bible, anyone that found Jesus became more like him.
Amen.
Anyone who found Jesus learned what it meant to walk with him. Right? The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, if you claim to live in Jesus, you better what? Walk like he did. And so, have you found Jesus this morning? Or could, if I looked at your life, could I say this is a Christian?
Come on, great question.
Come on, bro.
Good question.
In Acts 11, it says the disciples were called Christians. Now, mind you, that's important. The disciples were called Christians in Acts 11, 26, which means that when people looked at them, they said, these guys are those Christians, these like Christ guys. It wasn't something that people called themselves. It was something people called you. Are you with me here?
Yes.
It wasn't a self-proclaimed thing. It's that when people looked at your life, could they see Jesus? Could they find Jesus in you?
Wow.
Wow.
Come on, Andrew.
That's the question here this morning.
Come on, bro.
But unless you have a real relationship with God, let's just be honest. It's just a ritual.
Mm-hmm.
And so, guys, you look at this, and the last thing you see here is down in verse 30. There's three key things here. Number one, that God does not live in a temple, that you don't get spiritual by coming to a building.
Amen.
Number two, you got to really seek after him. It's not just a ritual. And number three, it says here in the past, verse 30, God looked over such, overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to what?
Repent.
To repent? What does repent mean?
Change.
You know what repent means? You're going this way. You don't just stop doing what you're doing. You now turn around. It's an about face, and you start going in the opposite direction.
Right.
What do you need to repent of this morning? Do you know repentance is the first word of the gospel? In Mark chapter 1, when Jesus speaks to his disciples, he says, repent and believe. You can't really say you believe something unless you've changed, right? If I say, you know what? I believe I'm going to marry my wife.
Amen.
Amen. To God be the glory, I'm going to marry this woman, right? But if I don't repent of sleeping around with other women, can I say that I'm ready to marry her?
No.
Does that make any sense whatsoever?
No.
So how can someone say, hey, I'm ready to be a Christian, but you know, God loves me. I know I sleep around and I know I curse and lie and cheat, but God loves me anyway.
Hey.
Try that with your soon-to-be wife. Try that with your soon-to-be husband and see how that works out for you. You see, guys, we live in a world today where people are led astray by false teachers that teach that repentance is not a requirement for salvation.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
That's right.
This is a new teaching. I have to repent?
Yeah.
You're commanding me to repent? You mean I have to be perfect? No, I'm not saying that. I know when I got married to my wife, there would be no way in Jesus I could be perfect. But every day I will strive to be faithful to her. Every day I will strive to deny the lust, the pride, the deceit, the anger, every day. Because here's the thing, you don't just fall into sexual morality. You've got to break down a lot of walls to get there.
Yeah.
Are you with me here?
Yeah.
You don't just magically end up on top of someone. You have to break down. It starts with eye contact. Then you start building a friendship. Then you start touching inappropriately. Then you start going over their house. Then all of a sudden, it doesn't matter. Oh, I woke up and they were on me. I don't get it. No, it doesn't just happen like that. You've got to break down a lot of barriers to get to that point. Which means that if you're dull spiritually and you don't die to sin from here, no wonder that happens.
Yeah. Come on, Andrew.
I've never cheated on my wife.
Amen.
I'm not a perfect man, but I've never cheated on my wife.
Amen. Come on, Andrew.
And let me tell you something. For you guys who are single brothers and the women who are single sisters, how you live right now will determine your marriage. You think that you can just kind of go along, be flirtatious, do all that stuff, and think that when you get married, you're not going to struggle with those things? You wait. It's not like all of a sudden you get mad. Oh, like this is like this. So all of a sudden you just like transform into a butterfly. And now you no longer struggle with lust and you no longer struggle with pride. No, you are the same person when you get married.
Yeah.
You are in training right now for what you're going to be when you become part of the Fellowship of the Ring.
That's right.
This is an exclusive club right here. You're with me here. And so if you're a guest here, we believe masturbation is sin.
Amen.
We believe gossip is sin. We believe deceit is sin. We believe fits of rage is sin. Galatians 5, read it when you got time.
Amen.
Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of time today, so I'm kind of moving things along. But I want to encourage you guys this morning because, you know, for me in my life, even since being a disciple, sometimes we can be tempted to want to go back to the world.
Yeah.
I want to show you something. Take a look over with me in Malachi. In Malachi, the Bible is very powerful here because it states that there needs to be a distinction between those who serve God and those who do not. And for us here, the Bible says here in Malachi chapter 3, starting in verse 12, you know, for those of us who are baptized disciples, we got to be careful. I'm talking to the church right now. That we don't follow God out of duty. Or just duty, excuse me. We can't just follow God just out of duty. We got to follow God out of desire. Are you with me here? And you got to ask yourself, is my relationship with God really out of duty or a desire? Imagine if I said to my wife, you know what, sweetie? Here's Valentine's Day flowers, okay? Just take it and leave me alone. I've done my duty. Would that make her feel special?
No.
Okay, exactly. So then when you come to God, you say, all right, God, listen, I came to church, I gave my tithe, now leave me alone and bless me. Or do you desire to get closer to God? Have you found him? You know, the Bible says here in Malachi chapter 3, let's read here in verse 13. Everyone knows Malachi 3, usually because of the whole robbing God thing, the tithe stuff. But I want to read some stuff after that. Take a look here in verse 13. This is God speaking. He says, "You've said harsh things against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said, it is futile to serve God. What did we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly, the evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape." Wow. Have you ever felt like that? Verse 16. "Then those who fear the Lord talk with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who fear the Lord and honor his name." You know, in verse 16, they have to have some discipling right there. They have to come together and say, "Listen, we need some help," right? Verse 17, it says, "They'll be mine, says the Lord Almighty. In the day when I make up my treasured possession, I will spare them, just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him." Verse 18, "And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not." Do you see a distinction here in Nigeria? Or is it clouded? Do you see a distinction between those who are sold out to God and those who are not? Do you see it? See, we need to talk about that today. I'm going to show you three quick things here. Point number one is this. That was all my introduction, but now you're going to see how quickly this flies.
Come on, bro.
Point number one, true religion requires a combination of faith and deeds. I want true religion in my life. I don't want to be fake. I don't want to talk about God on Sunday and then live a double life on Monday. Are you with me here? Do you want that?
No.
I want to live a life where there's a combination of faith and deeds. Take a look over in James here. And I want to show you something. You know where I'm going. In James chapter 2, and if you're a guest here, as I said, look on with the person who brought you out. We are a Bible church. So we actually study the Bible here. It's important. We must study the Bible to be approved. Otherwise, you'll be led astray. James chapter 2, the Bible says here, starting in verse 14, "What good is it, my brothers, my sisters, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him?" What does that mean? What's the answer?
No.
So hold on a second. You can have faith in God, but still go to hell? Hold on, did you catch that?
Wow.
Did you catch that?
Yeah, bro.
Guys, it says here, "Can such faith save him?" Which means that if you say, "I believe," but you do not repent, there's no deeds in your life. Is that a saving faith?
No.
Lay out, bro.
Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. Wow. How many people do you think have a lot of faith but don't really change their lives? Or they think they have faith. They sing some songs on Sunday. And they think they're good to go. Verse 18. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do." You believe there's one God. Good. Even the demons believe that. And shudder.
Wow.
"You foolish man. Do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did." See, that's the power of baptism and repentance. You see, a lot of people say, Andrew, I don't need to be baptized to be saved. I just pray a prayer, and now I have faith, and I'm good to go. Really? Now, the Bible says in Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for what? The forgiveness of your sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Amen. A lot of churches don't teach that.
That's right.
Harvest doesn't teach that.
Mm-hmm.
Redeemed does not teach that.
That's right.
House on the Rock doesn't teach that.
That's right.
This Present House doesn't teach that. Christ Embassy doesn't teach that.
That's right.
Does that shock you?
Mm-hmm.
What's really interesting is that people say, all I have to do is pray a prayer to be saved. God, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Amen. I'm a Christian. Did someone ever tell you that? Okay, good. So now show me the scripture that says that. Show me the scripture that says, pray this prayer to be saved.
I've never seen it.
No, just show me one scripture where it says, pray this prayer to be saved. It's not in there.
Come on, Andrew.
So why did everyone teach that?
Easy.
It's tradition. It's easy. What if I said, God, please help me be a doctor. God, please, I want to help people. Amen, I'm a doctor. All right, come on. Bring the operation. Give me my scalpel. Let's go. You see, guys, it's faith in actions. You have to learn what it means to be a disciple of Jesus.
Yes.
You're not born a Christian, you're made into a Christian.
That's right.
You're not born a doctor, you're made into a doctor.
Yeah.
Are you with me here?
Yeah.
It's faith and actions working together. You gotta hear the message, you gotta believe the message, you gotta repent of your sins, you gotta be baptized into Christ, and you gotta live a faithful life.
That's right.
That's the gospel message.
Yes.
That's the gospel salvation steps.
Amen.
You're not sitting there, chakalaka mama say mama sa mama kusa. What did I just say? Someone interpret it? No, guys, I'm not trying to be facetious here. I'm not trying to be facetious. I'm trying to help you understand. There are people that check their brains at the door. And they honestly believe this stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
Tongues were languages. If I say, bonjour, ça va bien, je m'appelle anglais. What did I just say? I just spoke French. Now, some of you had no idea what I was saying. But you know what? Some of you did. It was the actual language.
Yes.
Now, if I start rolling up in here, and all of a sudden could speak Igbo, Yoruba, Hausa, having never studied it, you'd be like, this is of God. Right? Well, that's what happened back then, because they didn't have the Bible. They didn't have this. We need to sit down and study the Bible together.
Amen.
We need to study it out and see, are miraculous gifts still present today? Let's study it out. Let's see. Because, you know, if people still speak in prophecy, oh, do you have a prophetic word, my friend? Really? Well, I thought the Bible says all scriptures God breathed and useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness, so the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So that means the Bible doesn't thoroughly equip me for every good work then. I need to listen to you. That means the Bible is not enough. It's the Bible plus prophecy. It's the Bible plus tongues. It's the Bible plus the catechism.
Wow.
It's the Bible plus the Book of Mormon.
Come on, Andrew.
What else do we need to add to the Bible today?
Nothing.
For people to be satisfied?
Come on, Andrew.
Guys, we got to have deep conviction. You know, I truly believe you got to have faith, but you got to change. You know, I appreciate so much our dear sister DeLapo. She's actually in right now with the kids, serving the kids. She was our first woman baptism.
Yeah.
And I remember that, you know, the first one is always the most, you know, not saying most special, but it's a special one, right? And I remember the sisters, man, studying the Bible with her, and she endured a lot of persecution from her Muslim family.
Absolutely.
I won't go into all the details. Let's just say it was ugly. It was really ugly. And she could have said, you know what, I'm just going to act like I have faith and not really say anything to anyone, not really call people to the truth. She laid it out.
Amen.
She changed her life.
Amen.
You see, you when you become a Christian, you don't just hide out in the darkness.
Nope.
You come into the light. Are you with me here, guys?
Right.
And now today, she is a campus ministry intern. Guys, it's remarkable to see what God is doing. But, you know, I do think that a lot of people, true religion, it's become an attendance more than a change.
Yeah.
Let me show you one more scripture in Ezekiel 33. You know, a lot of people come to be entertained. You know, can I see some of those, some of these things? You know, I was wondering about some of the different things that people show today. Give me a spouse or I die. What is this? Points and kill. A 3-day midnight of war. Let's see what else we got. Nigeria. And the people love it this way. Ezekiel 33. You know what? This sign is actually true. There are true pastors wanted. I don't know what's out there today, but I'll tell you right now, it seems like there's more magicians than ministers. In Ezekiel 33, the Bible says here in verse 30, "As for you, son of man, your countrymen are talking together about you by the walls and at the doors of your house and saying to each other, 'Come, hear the message that has come from the Lord.' My people come to you as they usually do and sit before you to listen to your words, but they do not put them into practice. With their mouths, they express devotion. 'Oh, yes, Pastor, this is great. Oh, congratulations. I'm so good to be here.' But their hearts are greedy. Greedy for unjust gain. Indeed, to them, you're nothing more than one who sings love songs with a beautiful voice and plays an instrument well. For they hear your words, but do not put them into practice." Wow. Religious or righteous?
Rich.
Guys, you've got to ask yourself, where are you this morning? You know, God wants a spiritual relationship, not spiritual adultery. We've got to really ask ourselves, where is our heart this morning? Is your life representative of Jesus? What are the sins in your life? We don't have time to look at it today. I would encourage you, look at Galatians 5, 19 to 21. Look at 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5. Look at the sins that the Bible talks about and ask yourself, where do I need to really repent? Because you may say to yourself, Andrew, I don't murder, I don't curse, I don't steal. Okay, well, have you forgiven that person in your life?
Come on.
Are you proud? Are you deceitful?
Yeah, I'm proud.
Guys, we can go down the list of 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5.
That's right.
It's not just the sins that you commit, it's the sins in your heart. What about sins of omission? Things you know you should do that you're not doing.
Yeah.
See, this is the way that I had to really check myself. I wanted true religion. Next point today is simply this. True religion not only requires a combination of faith and deeds, true religion develops a pure heart. I want to show you Psalms 24. Look over with me real quickly. See how quickly these points are going? I told you. You know, the Bible says here in Psalms 24, you know, the difference between a religious, being religious and really having a relationship with God is giving God our whole heart. The Bible says here in Psalms 24, it says here in verse 3, "Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by any but what is false. He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob." You see, when you seek God, you learn what it means to have a pure heart. And you got to ask yourself, when's the last time you've gotten open about what's really on your heart?
Come on, Andrew.
You know what I've noticed about a lot of the people here so far? They're not very open about their life. I've listened to different ministers share, and I can tell you right now, I have not heard a lot of ministers be open and vulnerable about their life. I've not heard ministers go into, please, let's turn on the ACs too, so everyone can get encouraged. I've not heard a lot of people say, let me be vulnerable with you.
Yeah.
Everyone acts like they're perfect.
Yeah.
I'm not perfect, but every day I'm striving to be a righteous man. How about you this morning? Are you afraid to be willing to look your worst so God, the great physician, can make you your best?
Yes.
When's the last time you confessed your sins to someone who can help you? You know, I want to encourage you guys. That's the only way you're going to develop a pure heart. The only way you're going to be able to change is if you confess your sins, James 5:16, and get open about your life.
Yes.
If you're going to be a member of this church, you're going to have to confess your sins.
Yeah.
If you don't want to confess your sins, this is not the church for you.
That's right.
I'm telling you right now, in a confidential, closed environment with dear friends, We don't gossip in this church. You gossip, you get kicked out. That's sin. You want to live an immoral life? You get kicked out. That's sin. I'm sorry. You may not like that, but guess what? 1 Corinthians 5 talks about expel the immoral brother. Expel the immoral sister. If someone's a slanderer, if someone is trying to cheat people out of money, trying to do all this stuff, raise havoc through the church, I am the watchman. You will be asked to leave. And the ushers will keep you out. Why? Because we will protect God's house. And we'll keep this place pure. Again, we're not perfect. But don't you dare deliberately sin and then roll up in God's house like you're okay. You better come in here with a humble heart like, guys, I need to get open. I need help. Help me to be pure.
Amen.
You know, if you look at Psalms 51, this is what David prayed for. And then we'll close out with the last verse here. Or last point. In Psalms 51, look at David's heart. This is right after he committed sin with Bathsheba. Look what he says here in Psalms 51. He says here in verse 10, create in me what? A pure heart. Oh God, renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will turn back to you. Save me from blood guilt, oh God. The God who saves me, my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Oh Lord, open my lips. My mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, oh God, you will not despise. See, if you're broken about your sin, guys, that God will heal you. God will wrap his arms around you. If you're prideful about it and you don't want to change, God will break you. You don't want God to break you. We got to humble ourselves before the Lord. I don't want to be polluted, guys. I want to be pure.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, as I said before, when I was growing up, I thought I could have it all. Act religious, sleep with women, be successful at any cost. That's what I thought. I was prideful, deceitful, and wicked, but I repented, and God accepted me into his kingdom.
Amen.
And you know what? He can do the same for you.
Amen.
There is no one here that has gone too far to be led back to the Lord.
Amen.
No one. God loves you. It's not about being perfect. It's about being faithful. If you're willing to get help and change, God can turn your life around. If you want to be religious like everybody else and act like everything's okay while you're doing all bunch of wickedness and then try to come into God's house and do rituals, he will be displeased. You can't fool God. You may be able to fool us, but you can't fool God. We got to decide to have pure hearts. The last point today is simple. True religion, rescue those in need. You know, turn over to Matthew chapter 9 with me. What the amazing thing is about following and being a part of true religion is that we get to rescue people. Now, a lot of times people don't think they need rescuing. Did you think you needed rescuing before you became a Christian?
No,
of course not. Why? Because we're prideful. Because we think we're good. Right? You know, I remember one time talking about sexual morality on Cornell's campus. And I did this Bible talk. I think I shared about it before. How we said, is sexual immorality a form of prostitution? And let me tell you, I wrote it up on the board. And women were coming around like, wow, how do you say that? I'm not a prostitute. I mean, they were mad. And I'm like, I'm not condemning you. I'm just trying to help you to understand. A prostitute is honest. A prostitute is honest. She's like, hey, I'm going to have sex with you and you're going to give me money.
Right.
But in the world, people are dishonest. And so, you know, I was talking to a brother. He's like, Andrew, you know, here in Nigeria, you know, it's okay. I mean, men, I've seen a lot of women get raped. People get raped and it's never reported. And it's shocking to me. I'm like, there are so many women, God's daughters, that are taking advantage of. Do you see it? And I know for me, I was the wolf before I became a Christian. But now it's like, man, I don't want to make another woman a prostitute. I don't want to prostitute her. And the sad thing is, it's the same thing. You know, people say, you know, I'm not a prostitute, but you know, let's be honest. Did you have the man spend on you before you slept with him?
All right, talk about it.
See, he just gave you money in a different way. He paid for your dinner. He paid for the dress you're wearing. He's paid for this. He paid for that. Welcome to prostitution. Yay. We don't have time. Read Jeremiah.
Come on, bro.
It will lay it out. Because it's so convicting. And that's why I'm like, we've got to rescue people from slavery to sexual morality, from slavery to drug addiction, from slavery to being just looking at the world and seeing it as, man, if I don't get praise and attention and attraction, I'm nothing. You know, I always show people about that whole concept of, we don't have it now. But I showed people this. Do we have it? The Mark Zuckerberg picture? Do you still have it?
No.
Oh, okay, don't worry about it. There's this Mark Zuckerberg picture about, you see Mark Zuckerberg, and he's basically, you know, worth $54 billion. You remember this picture? Did I show you this picture?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have this picture, bro? Can you find it?
Yeah, let me find it.
All right. It's $54 billion. Status, sixth richest man in the world, right? Known for walking in Lagos on the street with no siren.
That's right.
Then you see this other picture, Niger Man, dressed in white. Behind him is like this big infinity SUV, and then another soldier behind him with a gun. Niger Man, worth 10 million naira. Status. Nobody really cares about him. Disobeys all traffic laws, does not pay his workers. It just goes down the list. And I'm like, people are enslaved to this view of what they think success is. And meanwhile, the rest of the world's like, seriously? I would rather be a pure man with little. And with a man being a man of integrity with little than to be an unrighteous man with much.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to rescue a lot of people in need. It says here, Matthew chapter 9. It says here, take a look in verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had what?
Compassion
on them. Because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he asked his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are
few.
Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." I've got to ask you this morning, are you a worker for the Lord? Is God using you to rescue those who are in need? Do you see the world as harassed and helpless? You know, this morning, it's exciting to see what God is doing here in Lagos. I wanted to close with this article I saw because, you know, it's interesting. I look at the men getting baptized and Uche as well getting baptized today, and I see people that were in need. And God has fulfilled that need. I'm so proud of Robbins and the Hackers Bible Talk and Victor. Let me tell you guys, it has been incredible. Every single baptism is special.
That's right.
But you know, it was cool. Robbins basically said, you know, man, I've been listening to these messages Pastor Andrew's been doing. I've been convicted about getting fruitful. So, you know, I'm going to go out and share my faith. And so they were out sharing their faith, and they knock on this door, and the guy they're reaching out to, a guy behind him who actually ended up being emperor was like, that guy's not serious, he's naughty. I'm ready, come study with me. And you know what happened? They flat studied with emperor, and in 2 weeks now he's ready to be your brother in Christ. 18 years old. Well done, Victor. Well done, Robin. Well done, Hackers Bible Talk. I can say that for all the incredible baptisms today. Uche, Uche, Nicholas. I mean, it's remarkable to see what God is doing.
Yes.
Do you want to be a part of that? Do you want to help someone else come into the light?
Yes. Amen.
You know, the article I read to you as we close is this. It's called Religion or Relationship. Religion is what man does for God. The gospel is what God did for man. Religion claims man's merit is the work he does. The gospel calls on God's mercy and the work that he did. Religion says, try. The gospel says, trust. Religion says, develop yourself. The gospel says, deny yourself. Religion says, man is good. The gospel says, man is not. Religion says, save yourself. The gospel says, surrender yourself. Religion may give you something to live by, but Christianity will give you something to die by. Religion takes a man and leaves him as he is. The gospel takes a man as he is and makes him what he ought to be. Religion whitewashes the truth. The gospel washes white with the truth. You know, this morning I'm very encouraged because I truly believe that we want to be righteous and not just religious. But allow me to close with this scripture in Jeremiah chapter 5. Because as you walk out the door today, you're going to be bombarded with all types of religion, all types of religiosity. And you've got to ask yourself, are you really righteous or are you just religious? The Bible says here in Jeremiah chapter 5, everybody there?
Yeah.
Jeremiah chapter 5, the Bible says this. In verse 30, it says, a horrible and shocking thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy lies. The priests rule by their own authority, and my people love it this way. But what will you do in the end? My family, I pray that we'll decide to run to the Lord in a relationship and not just false religion. Well, you know, if you take the C from combination of faith and deeds.
All right.
The P from a pure heart.
All right.
And the R from rescue those what you got.
CPR.
Some people need to revive themselves spiritually this morning. Maybe you need to be revived this morning. Maybe your faith has gotten stale. Maybe you've stopped even believing in God or believing in the power of his church. I want to encourage you. I want to give you hope this morning. You've come to the right place.
Amen.
Maybe you're a disciple that's like, I don't know. I want to do what's right, but the world is so enticing. Don't worry. Be encouraged by the other brothers and sisters here. And remember, we're here to be distinct in the world. We're not here to add to its dereliction. Guys, this morning, I'm excited. I'm so excited. I want to sing a song with you as we close. It's called True Religion. I want to see if you guys can sing with me, all right? It goes like this, but I'm going to teach you all right now. So it goes like this. You got to have that true religion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to have that true religion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to have that true religion, and your soul converts. You got to have that true religion. Hallelujah. Let's stand up. Here we go. You got to have that true religion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to have that true religion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to have that true religion, and your soul converts. You got to have that true religion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus challenging the Pharisees.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Jesus challenging the Pharisees.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Jesus challenging the Pharisees. Then comes Nicodemus asking, please, how can I have
that true religion? Hallelujah.
Come on, y'all. Here we go.
You got to have that true religion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You got to have that true religion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to have that true religion.
And your soul converts. You got to have that true religion.
came to seek and save the lost.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Jesus came to seek and save the lost.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Jesus came to seek and save the lost. You can too if you count the cost.
That's how you have that true religion. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You got to have that true religion.